We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time or over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergen Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Wheat, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 797. 797 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergen Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's a deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, over 10,000, actually 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible? All right, just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your free and postpaid fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists and Bible versions? It's a refutation of one Bible only, and it's 104 pages, I guess, 108 pages, a red cover and white cover. It's a $12 value, $8 plus $4 shipping, free and postpaid. It answers some of the things we've been talking about on the broadcast these past months, fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists on Bible versions. These are the facts, so-called, that are fuzzy, that have been spouted out and believed and enunciated in books by the Big Four, the Fundamental Four, and the famous Fundamentalist Four schools and institutions, namely Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, and Central Baptist Seminary, along with others. These are the four, the famous four, that hold some of these fuzzy facts. And we're on problem number and fuzzy fact number 226 out of 265, actually. And we're still talking about Kevin Bowder, who's one of the lead writers of this horrendous book, One Bible Only, from Central Baptist Seminary. And Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "We appeal to the Scriptures. The Bible constitutes our ultimate and sole authority," end of quote. That's from page 167 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I appeal to the Scriptures also. The difference in our appeal is that we have different Scriptures. We have different Hebrew and Greek texts, as well as different English translations. Kevin Bowder is comfortable with the New American Standard Version. I am uncomfortable with the New American Standard Version. Kevin Bowder is comfortable with the New International Version. I'm not comfortable with the New International Version. Kevin Bowder is comfortable with the false Hebrew Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies the modern versions, the text that is the text of Ben Asher. I'm not comfortable with that text. Kevin Bowder is comfortable especially with the Greek text of Westcott and Hort, the Nestle Island, the United Bible Society. I am very uncomfortable with that. He is uncomfortable with the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. I am very comfortable with that. See, we have different Scriptures, different English translations. The crucial question of an appeal to the Scriptures is, which Scriptures? Which Scriptures? Dr. David Otis Fuller wrote an excellent book in the back 1970 to 1971. It opened my eyes. He called it, Which Bible? Which Bible? And there on the cover of that book are probably 25 different versions. And the King James Bible, of course, is central. And that's the Bible that Dr. David Otis Fuller believed was the proper Bible. Which Bible? We ask the same question to Kevin Bowder. You appeal to the Scriptures, but which Scriptures? And how do you appeal to them? Are they Scriptures that have been promised to be preserved as far as the Hebrew and Greek texts are concerned? He says no. There's no promise to appeal to the promise of Scripture being preserved. There's no promise that they were preserved, according to Kevin Bowder. We differ on this, strongly differ on this. I believe, that the Scriptures were promised to be preserved. The Hebrew and the Greek words were promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, promised by the Old Testament texts, David in the Psalms and other places, promised to be preserved. Word by word, letter by letter, Hebrew and Greek words preserved. He doesn't believe that they were promised to be preserved, so he has an unpreserved, unpromised preservation of the Scriptures. His concept of Bible preservation is different from mine. He believes only the preservation of the thoughts, preservation of the ideas, preservation of the concepts, but not the words. So we differ on what the Scriptures are and how they have been promised or non-promised, if you want to put it that way, to be preserved. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 227 out of 265? Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "One of the more theological moderate King James only advocates," he's going to talk about your speaker now, "actually uses some of the most immoderate language. D.A. Waite repeatedly vilifies non-King James only fundamentalists as heretics, apostates, deceivers, blasphemers, false teachers, and hypocrites, and he openly questions their salvation." End of quote, page 168 from One Bible Only. Have you ever heard this speaker that you're listening to now, D.A. Waite, vilify these non-King James only fundamentalists as heretics? Have you ever heard me call Kevin Bowder a heretic or an apostate? I never have done that. Now, I've talked and called their theology and their doctrine of the Bible an apostate doctrine, a heretical doctrine, an apostate teaching, heretical teaching, but you'll never hear this speaker call any of these fundamentalists anything but fundamentalists. Now, these fundamentalists have strange beliefs on the promise of God to preserve His words. They deny verbal preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words. I believe it very strongly. I completely disagree with Kevin Bowder. And yet, he tries to say, in fact, he wrote a letter to me when I asked him, where have I ever called in print or on the radio or in any other fashion in my speeches and messages throughout the country and throughout the world, where have I ever called a fundamentalist an apostate? Now, he can't be both. He can't be a fundamentalist and apostate and a heretic at the same time, can he? Now, these are fundamentalist brethren, and they hold to the doctrines, many of the same doctrines that I hold to. But, and some of the doctrines that are false to fundamentalism are heretical doctrines. Now, I wrote a letter to Kevin Bowder because he said these things, and in that letter I said, well, where have I ever said these people that are fundamentalists are apostates? Why have I said that? And he wrote a letter, a lengthy letter back, and he said, well, you haven't called them apostate, but it's the same thing, saying that they have apostate doctrine or heretical doctrine. That means they're apostate. No, my friends, this does not mean that at all. Think through this thing. Cannot a fundamentalist in other doctrines, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the blood atonement, all these different things, his miracles, can't that fundamentalist have a wrong view of the Bible and the wrong Bible? Can't he, by false teaching that he's been listening to and drunk deeply into, can't he hold a false view of the Bible and still be a fundamentalist in other doctrines? This is what I'm saying. And so he can have, and they do, these fellows, these men that represent, and the books that represent these famous four fundamentalist schools and institutions hold a false view of the Bible. A false view of the Bible. I'm talking about, as I said before, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, Detroit Baptist Seminary in Detroit, Michigan, Calvary Baptist Seminary there in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, Central Baptist Seminary in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. They hold a heretical view of Scripture in the fact not only do they believe that the Scriptures were inerrant and infallible in the original autographa, the autographs, the original writings. They believe that, and that's a fundamentalist doctrine. Modernists don't believe that. Unbelievers don't believe that. But the heresy of doctrine comes in when the famous four fundamentalist institutions say they do not believe in Bible preservation of the words of Hebrew and Greek. They don't even believe God promised it, when clear verses of the Scripture show that He did promise the preservation of the words of His Bible, Hebrew and Greek words. And so this is a heretical view, a heretical doctrine, a heretical belief, a heretical understanding of bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible and its preservation. They hold a heretical text of the New Testament, these famous four fundamentalist schools, the leaders. They call themselves major fundamentalist institutions. They hold a false view of what the New Testament Bible is. They have a Bible that is the same Bible as the modernists and the apostates have. Does that make them modernists and apostates? No. That makes them fundamentalists with an apostate Bible. Now, when I say they have an apostate heretical Bible, does that mean I'm calling them apostates and heretics? No, it does not. That's where Kevin Bowder's mind is mixed up and messed up as far as definition of terms of what we're talking about. Yet he insists in the letter that he wrote to me, this author, Kevin Bowder, insists that it's the same thing as calling a person a modernist or an apostate or a heretic if you say that he has a heretical view, a heretical doctrine on the Bible and Bible preservation and the promise of Bible preservation. They are distinct, they're different, and they're not the same. Well, I couldn't talk him into anything. He could never find a single word about that in my writings, though he tried very hard. I give him credit for it. I think he wrote a letter, 3 or 4 pages, I believe it was. And I answered him back, and I said, he never has come up with a single sentence where I call fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christians heretics or apostates. Then he says that D.A. Wade repeatedly vilifies. Now, what does vilify mean? That means make a villain out of someone, doesn't it? That means make them vile. Have I made even Kevin Bowder vile? I disagree with the man's view of Scripture. I disagree with his Bible. I disagree with the kind of Bible that he has. I disagree with the Greek and Hebrew texts that he uses and he holds up as strong. He went to the same graduate school as I did, Dallas Theological Seminary. He's either received his doctor's degree from Dallas or he's going to receive it soon. And that's where he fouled himself up, at the teachings at Dallas Seminary, which is a conservative seminary. It's less conservative than when I went there from 1948 to 1953. I was there in residence 5 years. And he went in residence a few years back. Don't know exactly the date. And Dallas Seminary has changed in the interim. And so he picked up probably from Dan Wallace. Dr. Dan Wallace is one of the professors in the Greek language there that has a horrendous view of Scripture and of various things along that line. And so Kevin Bowder, a fellow Dallas Theological Seminary graduate, has a different view of the Bible than this present speaker, who's also a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate. I did not agree and continue to agree with the apostate text that Dallas Seminary put in my hands in 1948 when I went there as a theological student. They put in my hands the Westcott and Hort Greek text. I used it and had it for 20, almost 25 years, until I found the truth about that text and threw it away. I discarded it. Kevin Bader hasn't discarded his false Westcott and Hort type of text. I have. So he says, I vilify. No, I don't vilify fellow fundamentalists. I simply say I disagree strongly with them. Then he says, repeatedly calling them, vilifies them as heretics. No, that's false. Apostates, that's false. Deceivers. I don't know that I've even referred to these men as deceivers. I believe they're deceived as far as the Bible is concerned, the New Testament Greek text is concerned. They're deceived on that. They can't see it straight as I have been able to see it. We have over 1,000 titles in our Bible for Today ministry defending the King James Bible and defending the Hebrew and Greek text that underlie that King James Bible. 1,000 plus titles. They're available. If you get our book, Defending the King James Bible, in the appendix, you'll find the titles of over 1,000 of these books and references and tapes and videos that defend that King James Bible. Deceivers? No. Blasphemers? Where have I ever called in print or in this radio broadcast or any other radio broadcast, where have I called fundamentalists as blasphemers? I've never called them at all. I refer to Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, as apostates, as heretics, as deceivers, as blasphemers, yes. This, of course, is true of these men. The problem with Kevin Bowder and others of the famous four fundamentalist institutions, the problem with these men that are brethren, saved by the grace of God, the problem with them is that they cannot understand that even Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort of the 1880s were apostates, were heretics. They can't even understand that that's their position. They are unsaved, godless men of the church that wrote. They can't understand that. And yet they say this man, Kevin Bowder, who doesn't even agree that Westcott and Hort were apostates and heretics, says that I, D.A. Waite, refer to fellow fundamentalists as heretics and apostates. He's wrong on both counts. He's wrong on saying that I refer to the fundamentalists as heretics and apostates, and he's wrong on saying that Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort are not heretics and apostates. Wrong, wrong, both counts. And then he says, D.A. Waite repeatedly vilifies fundamentalists as being false teachers. Well, now, that probably is accurate. Of all the terms he's used so far, heretics, apostates, deceivers, blasphemers, those are four terms that he's wrong on. False teachers, that's possible. I believe that Kevin Bowder is teaching falsely as far as his disbelief in God's promise to preserve his words, Hebrew and Greek words. That's false teaching. I believe that that not only is false teaching, it's heretical teaching. It's apostate teaching. Now, wait a minute. Did I call them apostates? Did I call them heretics? Please, my friend, who are listening to this broadcast, and there are many of you who are, I hear from some of you, many of you, when I say that they have a teaching that's an apostate teaching, that's not calling them apostates on the Bible. And the Bible is the most central doctrine of the Christian faith. Now, some of my brethren have said, well, if a man is apostate on his Bible doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible, if he holds the wrong Bible, an apostate text, like the liberals do, the Westcott and Hort text, like the Roman Catholics do, like the new evangelicals do, does that not make him an apostate or a heretic? Well, I haven't reached that conclusion at this point. even though Kevin Bonner says that I have, but a false teacher. Yes, this is false teaching. The false teaching that the Westcott and Hort text is correct. That's false teaching. So I'm sure I must have called them as false teachers, but that doesn't say that they're apostates. Then the next word that he uses, I don't say the fundamentalists are heretics or apostates or deceivers or blasphemers. I have said that they are false teachers in the fact that they're teaching falsely, they're teaching heretically, they're teaching apostately, if you want to use that term. They're teaching in an apostate manner, but they're still fundamentalists on the essentials of the Christian faith. But false teachers, yes, falsely teaching. Then the next word he uses, and hypocrites. Well, I don't very often use the term hypocrite for fundamentalists, but let me just simply say that I have felt, strongly felt, that it is hypocritical. It is not straightforward. It is not upfront to use the King James Bible in the chapel services, as Bob Jones University does, and even in the classrooms, if they, Bob Jones III says that they do. I've got people that say that they don't and haven't in the past. I'm not in the schools and I'm not in the classrooms, so I don't know what they use in their schoolrooms or text rooms. I do believe that they may now use the King James, the only version in the classrooms. They haven't in the past. They have not in the past. But even granted, if they do today in the present, in the classrooms, I know they continue to use it in the chapel. And yet, in the Greek department, they use a text, whether it's Nestle-Aulin text or United Bible Society text, that is contradictory to the text that underlies the King James Bible that they use in the chapel. It's contradictory to that Greek text in 8,000 places that Dr. Jack Mormon has given to us in his tremendous volume scholarly work, chapter and verse. 8,000 differences in the text that they use in their classrooms in the Greek department at Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary. 8,000 differences. Some are more minor than others, some are more major than others, but 8,000 plus. You don't believe it? Ask us how you can get 8,000 differences in the from the critical text to the Textus Receptus by Dr. Jack Mormon, missionary in London, England. Our friend for many years, a tremendous scholar, a member of our Dean Burgon Society Executive Committee, and we support him. Our church supports him. Our Bible for Today Baptist Church every month supports Dr. Jack Mormon. You ask for this, how to get it. Tremendous volume, over 500 large pages, where he spells out these 8,000 differences. And to say that a school on the very front burner at the chapel services at Bob Jones University, for example, uses the King James Bible, and that undermines the Greek text in the Greek department in 8,000 places, a text that changes the things in 8,000 places, that is hypocritical in my judgment. So I have used the word hypocritical. It's deceptive. It is deceptive. If Bob Jones University were consistent and not hypocritical, they would use the New American Standard Version that they sell in their bookstore in the chapel service. The New American Standard Version, which many of their graduates are using, goes along with their false Greek text, their apostate Greek text, their heretical Greek text of Westcott and Hort, who were heretics that began it. And to be consistent, they should use the heretical New American Standard Version to go with the heretical Westcott and Hort Greek text version. And that's not hypocritical. That would be honest. Now, that's what our school does at Dallas Theological Seminary. When I went to school back there in 1948, when Dr. Lewis Ferry Chafer was our president and founder and taught our class the whole 4 years, 1948 to 1952, we used the King James Bible. But again, inconsistently and hypocritically, the Greek text in the Greek department was the Westcott and Hort Greek text. But at least we use, but now they're consistent. I'm told by one of the representatives that they use the New International Version. And anybody that comes in with a King James Bible is looked on as a silly billy, some sort of a hillbilly or something else. They're consistent now. NIV in the classrooms, NIV in the chapel services, and the NIV New Testament false Greek text in the Greek department. Consistency. I'd rather have Bob Jones University and Detroit Baptist Seminary and Calvary Baptist Seminary and Central Baptist Seminary be consistent and use the King James Bible in the chapel in every classroom and the text of the King James Bible, Greek text in the New Testament, in the Greek department as well, the text that underlies our King James Bible. That's consistency. And somehow a hypocrite comes to mind if they do not use it. Both places, they should be consistent, and it's somewhat hypocritical. In fact, I would like to have Bob Jones University and these other schools advertise to their people and to their supporters and to the ones that give them millions and millions of dollars. We don't believe the text of the King James Bible is the right Greek text. They should tell their supporters that have donated millions of dollars to them, we don't agree with this text that underlies our King James Bible. We believe that text is wrong here, and it's wrong there, and it's wrong somewhere else, and therefore the King James Bible is undermined in these places because there are differences. Mark 16:9-20. We believe that the text of the underlies the King James Bible is wrong in those last 12 verses of Mark. They should be honest. They should tell their supporters. Maybe they wouldn't give them the millions of dollars that they give them. If they're above board and honest and tell them they dispute the King James Bible in Mark 16:9-20. They dispute the King James Bible in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. They say, that's not right. That's the wrong Greek text. We don't believe God was manifest in the flesh in 1 Timothy 3:16. That's above board. That's not hypocrisy. Then the last charge that Kevin Bowder says, he openly questions their salvation. You'll never hear this preacher say that I question the salvation of Kevin Bowder, of Bob Jones III, of these men in these other schools. If they're saved, they're saved. And I've never questioned, openly questioned, or even silently questioned their salvation. Absolutely false. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible or the Defining the King James Bible. Get your free copy of Fuzzy Facts and Fundamentalists and Bible Versions, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We're going to continue, my friends, these Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists next broadcast. We hope you'll stay tuned. You know, a lot of these charges that are leveled at your speaker and our beliefs are false charges, but we try to answer them in as honest a way as we can, as forthrightly as we can. We don't lie about things. We tell the truth, and we want you to understand that these are fuzzy facts that these fundamentalists believe. They're not apostates, they're fundamentalists, but they have fuzzy facts on Bible versions. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 798. 798 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibletoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now on its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you order your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today. Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order a copy for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible? Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll tell you how to get it. Then have you ordered your Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions? 108 pages, free and postpaid, $12 value. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions. It's a reputation of one Bible only. It's something that we've been talking about on this broadcast for months in the past, and maybe a few months or a month at least in the future as well. Who knows? All right, let's get back to the Fuzzy Fact number 228 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again from Central Baptist Seminary. He says, quote, although Peter Van Cleek does suggest that his opponents are not orthodox, he appears to be using the term orthodoxy in the restrictive sense that entails adherence to the full system of faith as he defines it. End of quote, page 168 from One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Now here's a direct quotation from Peter Van Cleek that his opponents are not orthodox. I've never said that of my opponents. I've said that they do not have the orthodox view of the Bible, but I don't say that they are not orthodox. You'd think that he would castigate Peter Van Cleek, but he refuses to condemn Peter Van Cleek and condemn this term. He rather justifies his use of it. He's trying to be a friend of Peter Van Cleek, but he wants to continue to be an enemy of your speaker, D.A. Waite. In our last broadcast, you remember, he quotes me as having these terrible terms that he allegedly says that I use of fundamentalists, such as heretics, apostates, and so on, and openly questioning their salvation. I've never done these things. I wrote him a letter and said, prove it. He wrote three or four pages back and didn't prove it at all, but just switched his definition of terms and says, if you say someone has a heretical doctrine of Scripture, they're heretics. I don't say that at all. They have a heretical doctrine of Scripture. But I'm not calling them heretics or apostates, and I don't openly question their salvation. But Peter Van Cleek says his opponents are not orthodox. Well, if they're not orthodox, what are they? If the opponents of the King James Bible are not orthodox, that makes them heretics, doesn't it? Apostates, doesn't it? Wouldn't you think he'd bite the head off of Peter Van Cleek in this quotation? No. He says that he's using it in some other term, another definition of this term, orthodoxy, in a restrictive sense, and so on and so forth. Well, the opponents who are fundamentalists, calling them unorthodox or unsaved, yet he libelously claims that I have done this and condemns me without a shred of evidence. And yet he holds up Peter Van Cleek and excuses the terms that I would never and have never used. Well, such is the battle for our Bible. Well, let's fuzzy fact number 229 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again wrote this, quote, we are sorrowed in the frequent use of unbiblical vituperative language in this otherwise Christian forum, and thus have sought to avoid using it ourselves. End of quote. Page 168 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, it's not true at all. He's saying that I have called Bible-believing Christians heretics, apostates, deceivers, blasphemers, and doubted their salvation. I have not done so. It's libelous and slanderous for him to say that I have. As for his alleged avoidance of vituperative language, would his use of genuinely heretical to describe his opponents qualify for such vituperative language? I think that it would. He's called his opponents, such as your speaker here, D.A. Waite from Collinswood, New Jersey, genuinely heretical. Now, that's a little bit vituperative as far as I'm concerned. And when he says we have sought to avoid using vituperative language ourselves, that simply is false. He uses it repeatedly for his opponents, unfortunately, that he does. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 230 out of 265. Kevin Vada wrote this. Now, he begins a section entitled Frequently Asked Questions in the Translation Controversy. So here's his first question that I'm going to take up. Quote, how similar are these manuscripts? And then his answer is this, quote, even where the meaning of the text is open to question. Now, he's talking about the question of the manuscripts of the New Testament Greek text. The text that he uses, Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, United Bible Society, versus the text that I use and that the King James Bible uses, the Textus Receptus, the received text, the traditional text. His answer, quote, even where the meaning of the text is open to question, the different possibilities are all perfectly orthodox. At no point does a true doctrine of the faith hinge upon a disputed word or passage. End of quote, page 171. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, it's clearly false. Clearly false. Kevin Bowder doesn't know what he's writing about, hasn't the faintest idea what he's saying. As I've pointed out many times before in the course of this material, on these broadcasts, you've heard me say it. There are more than 356 doctrinal passages where his text, Kevin Bowder's text, used at Central Baptist Seminary, the text used at the Bob Jones University, the text used at Calvary Baptist Seminary and Detroit Baptist Seminary and these other fundamentalist schools, the text used, which is Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, United Bible Society, is not perfectly orthodox. 356 doctrinal passages that Dr. Jack Mormon has produced. And this is repeatedly said by the speaker on this broadcast, they're not perfectly orthodox. And the Textus Receptus is orthodox in every one of these 356 places. And then in my book, Defending the King James Bible, Chapter 5, I list and explain 158 of those 356 passages. I show them to be doctrinally in error in the Westcott and Hort false text. If you're interested in the facts, if you want to know where those 356 places are in the false Greek testament and text of Kevin Bowder and others of our fundamentalist brethren that use these false heretical texts, you should get the document that Dr. Jack Mormon has written. 100 large pages. Gives chapter and verse where these false doctrines occur. He shows you their text. He shows you some of their manuscripts they use to prove it. Then some of the manuscripts used to disprove it. False doctrinal passages, 356 of them. Write us or call us and ask us, how can we get Dr. Jack Mormon's list of 356 doctrinal passages that are there in the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort used by these fundamentalist colleges and schools? We'll tell you how to get it. And then some of you listening to me want to say perhaps, wait a minute, you've said that there are 8,000 differences between the Greek text that underlies these modern versions, the NASV and the New International Version, compared to the King James Bible. 8,000 places, 8,000 Greek words that are different, and sentences and so on, passages, places, 8,000 of them. You say, well, how is that so? I would like to see this. I don't believe this. Well, you should ask us how you can get this over 500 pages, scholarly testimony of Dr. Jack Mormon again, our missionary in London, England, of the differences between the critical text of Nestle-Aland 26 and 27 versus the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. 8,000 places. Write us or simply call us and ask us how to get that. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You can't forget that number. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. But there are doctrinal differences and doctrinal possibilities. To have him write that at no point does a true doctrine of the faith hinge upon a disputed word or passage. False, erroneous. That is false teaching. That is false teaching. And when Kevin Bowder teaches this, he is a false teacher at this point. Not in all points, but in this point he is. And many other points that we pointed out in Fuzzy Facts for Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Order this copy free and postpaid. Those that want it, we'll send it out. $12 value. Can you resist that offer? All right. Let's go to Fuzzy Fact number 231 out of 265. Kevin Bowder wrote this. This is the more questions now that he's going to answer. The question is this. Are any of the manuscripts identical to each other? Says, to answer that question, one would have to examine all of the more than 5,000 manuscripts in detail. I don't know of anyone who has ever done that, and I doubt that anyone ever could. I agree, of course, with Kevin Bowder on this point anyway. Then he continues, quote, many scholars, however, have devoted their entire lives to comparing the manuscripts of the Greek New Testament. None of them has ever been able to demonstrate that any two Greek manuscripts are identical. We may conclude that, like snowflakes and fingerprints, every manuscript differs from every other manuscript in some respects. As we have seen, however, the differences are relatively minor. End of quote, page 171, from One Bible Only. What's my answer to Fuzzy Fact number 231? Well, all the manuscripts of the Textus Receptus variety are virtually identical, as Dean Bergen has said. There are very minor differences, such as spelling, but basically they are the same. But you can't say that for the manuscripts B and Aleph, the Vatican and the Sinai manuscripts that form the basis of the false Westcott and Hort Greek text that Kevin Bowder uses. You can't say that for those. There are many thousands of real differences in the old uncials that he follows, these old manuscripts of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai. And so, though he's trying to say that no manuscripts are identical, and he's trying to include the traditional text, Greek manuscripts, in that statement, he's misconstruing what is the truth, that there are very small, tiny differences in the manuscripts that underlie our King James Bible, the traditional text, the Textus Receptus, the received Greek text. And what he should say is there are thousands and thousands of differences in his text, and even the manuscripts that go along with his text. For instance, his great god, you might say, small g, but his great guru of the Greek New Testament, Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, these false teachers, these apostates and heretics that are unsaved and lost, so he thinks they're saved and in heaven today. Kevin Bowder's idol, Westcott and Hort, they went along with Manuscript B as the most important manuscript of the New Testament. Manuscript B, called the Vatican Manuscript. And yet, as the man Herman Hoskier has proven in his book, over 924 pages in length, called Codex B and Its Lies, as Herman Hoskier has shown chapter and verse, and we reprinted this technical book if you're interested in getting it, he's shown that in the Gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, B and Aleph, those two manuscripts that form the basis of the false Greek text, the heretical Greek text of Kevin Bowder and other schools, fundamentalist schools, that very basis, B and Aleph, contradict one another in the Gospels alone over 3,000 times. Now, to say that the differences are relatively minor, well, the 3,000 places and 3,000 differences in the Gospels alone, and that's plenty of differences. And certainly, if he wants to say they're similar and they're relatively minor, what's he going to do with the 8,000 places where his Greek text differs from my Greek text? His Greek text of Nestle Island and United Bible Society and Westcott and Hort, and his versions following those false texts, the heretical texts, the New American Standard Version, New International Version, differs from my text, the text of Receptus, and my Bible, the King James Bible, in 8,000 plus places. Some of them are minor, yes, but many of them are major differences. 356 passages, at least, are doctrinal in nature. Let's go to fuzzy fact number 232 out of 265. Kevin Bowder wrote this. Again, his question and answers. Didn't heretics alter the text of some manuscripts to fit their theology? Then he says, this is his answer. That was a surprisingly rare occurrence. Many heretics superimposed a faulty interpretation upon the words of Scripture, but they generally left the words themselves alone. The heretics who wanted to tamper with the text of the Bible didn't just change a few words here and there. They rejected or rewrote whole books of the Bible or inserted others. End of quote, page 172. Well, in this answer, Kevin Bowder is sidestepping the facts and the truth. The question was, didn't heretics alter the text of some manuscripts to fit their theology? The answer to it is, yes, they did. And to say it's a surprisingly rare occurrence, no, that isn't a surprisingly rare occurrence. This is absolutely false. The heretics altered the Bible's text in many places. I believe all these places, 356 doctrinal places, there was heretics at work. Indeed, it's possible that in the whole 8,000 places that Dr. Jack Mormon has specified in his book, that they've altered because of heretical alterations, although some of them certainly could be accidental. There's no question about the heretics altering of Scripture. Dean Burgon has listed 10 or 11 of the leading heretics who did this in the causes of corruption of the traditional text, his book that we've reprinted in the Dean Burgon Society hardback edition. You should get the causes of corruption from us or Dean Burgon Society. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get that book. They were Egyptian Gnostic heretics that altered the words of God. And this, of course, is doubted and denied by many of our fundamentalist brethren that differ with us on the Greek New Testament text. They say, heretics didn't alter these things. Heretics did alter the words, and sometimes they did write an entire book. The Gospel of Basilides, for example, an entire book by his name, altering the Gospels. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 233. Out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "When they made such wholesale additions or deletions, it was very obvious. The early Christian leaders quickly placed these false teachers and their defective writings under theological quarantine by naming their names publicly and listing their defective writings. None of the reputable modern printed editions of the Hebrew Old Testament or Greek New Testament uses these heretical writings as a basis for making changes in the text." End of quote. Page 172 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, again, it's absolutely false. The heretical writings of B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts that were altered by these heretics, are used in his own New American Standard Version of the Scripture. And to say that they're not used when he says these additions and deletions are not used, my friend, he's using a text that is changed from the traditional Textus Receptus received text in over 8,000 places, as Dr. Jack Mormon's book has indicated. If you want to find out, see how you can get that book for yourself. Call us, we'll tell you how to get it. You need to get it. You ought to get it. You should get it. If you're confused by this heretical Greek text used at Central Baptist Seminary or Dallas Theological Seminary, some of these new evangelical schools using it, or a Roman Catholic seminary, or an apostate Princeton University or Princeton Theological Seminary, or the fundamentalist schools use the same heretical Greek text. Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, the big four, famous four fundamentalist schools still use the apostate texts. And these apostate texts have made use of heretical emendation, heretical changes, alterations, and because they use as their basis Vatican manuscript, manuscript B, as in bad. Manuscript Sinaiticus, or Sinai, Aleph. And these are the very quintessence, the very essential ingredients of apostasy and heresy as far as changes in the Greek text are concerned. And we've listed, as I say, 158 of these heretical changes that are in B and Aleph in our book, Defending the King James Bible, Chapter 5. If you're interested in getting that and seeing it and reading it, we show them to you. If you want to get the whole 356 doctrinal passages that are different and heretical in the B and Aleph manuscripts, get Dr. Jack Mormon's book, 100 large pages, 356 doctrinal errors in the NIV and the Greek text that underlies it. These are used as the basis, as I say, for the New American Standard Version. The heresies and the 356 doctrinal errors are in there, as well as in the New International Version and other modern versions. And they have used the heretical texts by using the B and L of Vatican Sinai texts in the present Bibles and versions. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 234 out of 265? Kevin Bowder again in his question and answer says this, quote, "Don't some manuscripts, such as Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, reflect a heretical bias? King James Only advocates make this assertion frequently. But, says Kevin Bowder, it is completely false. All the major manuscripts, including Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, are entirely compatible with Orthodox Christianity. They do not delete any doctrine of the faith or insert any alien doctrines. These manuscripts do not bear the marks of heretical tampering." End of quote. Page 172. Why, oh my, what's my answer to the fuzzy fact? Absolutely, completely, totally false, misleading, false, false, false indeed, to say that they are entirely compatible with Orthodox Christianity. It makes me wonder, what does Kevin Bowder think Orthodox Christianity is? What does he think that it is? In John 6:47, we've used it many times, my Bible, the King James Bible, says, and my Greek text, the received Greek text of Receptus, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:47. The next verse, "I am that bread of life." But what does the NASB Greek text say? What does the New International Version Greek text say? What do the English versions say? "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has everlasting life." But there's no "believeth on me." The "on me" is gone. Is that compatible, entirely compatible with Orthodox Christianity? All you have to do is believe without specifying the object of that faith, the Lord Jesus Christ? I maintain that that is heresy, to take away the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:47 as these false Greek heretical manuscripts that Kevin Bowder worships and bows down to have done. It's absolutely incompatible with Orthodox Christianity to take Christ out of there. I think it's incompatible with Orthodox Christianity to remove Mark 16, 9 to 20. To take that out of their Greek text and say that it doesn't belong. I believe it's heretical. They followed the heretical doctrines. They delete these verses, the last 12 verses of Mark. I believe it's incompatible with Orthodox Christianity to delete John 7:53 to 8:11, the woman taken in adultery. Entirely incompatible with Orthodox Christianity. I believe it's incompatible with Orthodox Christianity in John chapter 7 and verse 8, which implies that the Lord Jesus Christ was a liar. I go not up yet to this feast. And the word yet is removed by Kevin Bowder's false Greek text, Westcott and Hort. His half-brother said, are you going up to the feast? He says, I go not up yet. But the false text, the heretical text, says, I go not up. Leaves out the yet. And he did go up in the next verse or two to the feast. The Lord Jesus is made out to be a liar. And Kevin Bowder is telling you, my friend, who read this book, One Bible Only, on page 172, that this is entirely compatible with Orthodox Christianity. To call my Savior a liar, to imply that he does not tell the truth, is that compatible with Orthodox Christianity? No. Is it compatible with Orthodox Christianity in Luke 2, verse 22, to imply that he, the Lord Jesus, had to be cleansed? And this is what is stated, their cleansing instead of her cleansing, according to the law of Moses, calling my Savior sinful, needing to be cleansed? Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And be sure to get to your Defending and Define and ask for the free and postpaid Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists, 108 pages, $12 value. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforthetoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We hope you'll stay tuned to next broadcast. We're going to continue these messages, these talks on fuzzy facts from fundamentalists. I didn't call them heretics. Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. See you next week. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for the Day of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergen Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 799. 799 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergen Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or you can email us at bft@bibleforthetoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll tell you how to get it. And then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are presently in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy for yourself and your friends of the defined King James Bible? Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to order. And then, have you received your fuzzy facts from Fundamentalist and Bible Versions yet? Beautiful red and white cover, 108 pages booklet. It's yours, $12 value, $8 plus $4 shipping. Free and postpaid. Just simply ask, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's a refutation of one Bible only, but it refutes the various beliefs of these famous four fundamentalist institutions. Namely, Bob Jones University believes what's in here. We don't. Detroit Baptist Seminary believes what's in here. We don't. The Calvary Baptist Seminary believes what's in here. We don't. And the Central Baptist Seminary believes these facts. We don't. They're fuzzy facts. They're not facts at all. Call us or write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Notice I didn't call them apostates, I called them fundamentalists, even though they disagree with us and disagree with me on the area of bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. And they have a view of the Bible that I believe to be heretical. They have a view of the Bible that I believe to be apostate. They do not believe God even promised to preserve his words of Hebrew and Greek. That is an apostate, heretical view, and yet they're fundamentalists. And I'd never have called them, that is the Bob Jones University people, Detroit Baptist Seminary people, Central Baptist Seminary people, Calvary Baptist Seminary people, apostates or heretics. Never have called them that. Don't believe that. They're fundamentalists with some heretical views on the Bible. Now, that's as clear as I can make it. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 234 before I get wound up again on that subject that we talked about last week. Kevin Bowder, again, Central Baptist Seminary writer here, in his question and answer section of this one Bible only, he asks, don't some manuscripts, such as Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, reflect a heretical bias? Well, King James Only Advocates, he says, make this assertion frequently, but it is completely false. All of the major manuscripts, including Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, are entirely compatible with Orthodox Christianity. They do not delete any doctrine of the faith or insert any alien doctrines. These manuscripts do not bear the marks of heretical tampering. Well, we talked about that last week. Let's go on to fuzzy fact number 235 out of 265, where Kevin Bowder wrote this. Question and answer again. How do critics try to prove that Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are heretical? Well, his answer is this way. Quote, first, they piece together an imaginary story about heretical influences over the oldest manuscripts. Then they usually try to place the worst possible interpretation upon difficult readings that are found in these manuscripts. When dealing with the text of Receptus, however, they place the most favorable interpretation upon the difficult readings. In fact, the actual readings in Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are completely compatible with Christian orthodoxy. End of quote. Page 173, one Bible only. Well, here again, what is my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, we prove them heretical, by fact and doctrine. No matter how many times Kevin Bowder repeats this error, it is still false. He can allege, quote, the actual readings of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are completely compatible with Christian orthodoxy until the moon turns into blood. But it does not make it true. It's still false. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are not completely compatible with Christian orthodoxy. They're false. They have alien doctrines that he does not want to believe that they do. And it's not compatible with Orthodox Christianity. He says it repeatedly in the first question we had last week and this question again in this broadcast number 800. And we have shown this. In fact, study Dr. Jack Mormon's 100-page, large-page report on 356 doctrinal passages where the Vatican and Sinai are in error and the traditional text, Preceptus text, underlying our King James Bible, has true doctrines in every one of these 356 passages. And it's simply false to say that Vatican and Sinai are compatible with Orthodox Christianity when they are not in these areas. As we said before last week and other times, that Dr. Jack Mormon has not only written this 100 large pages on 356 doctrinal passages that are heretical and doctrinal impurities in the B and Aleph manuscripts and in the New International Version, but have also advertised his new book, his latest scholarly research work, over 500 large pages, entitled 8,000 Differences Between the Critical Text of the Nestle Island 26 and 27 compared to the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. 8,000 differences, and he puts them in the pages. This Greek word and what it means in English, contrasted to this Greek word and what it means in English. I grant you some of the 8,000 are more minor than others. This is certainly factually true, but there are differences. And when Kevin Bowder says the readings of these manuscripts and the 8,000 differences had to do with the readings, the false readings of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, the B and Aleph manuscripts, the Sinai and Vatican manuscripts. And the 8,000 show that they're different. And he says in this other book that we refer to constantly, 356 doctrinal passages where the Sinai and Vatican manuscripts are in error, doctrinal error, these things come to play 356 times out of the 8,000. And probably some of the others have some things to do with factual material, but these others are doctrinal issues. And it's simply false to say that B and Aleph, Vatican, Sinai, are in completely compatible with Christian orthodoxy. Well, fuzzy fact number 236. Out of 265, Kevin Bader wrote this. What is the Textus Receptus? That's his question. And here's his answer. Cool. The Textus Receptus is the name for a series of printed editions of the Greek New Testament. The earliest of these editions was published by Erasmus, a Roman Catholic scholar who patched together his first text by comparing a handful of manuscripts, page 174. What's my answer? What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, my answer is simply the received text, the Textus Receptus, is not, quote, a series of printed editions of the Greek New Testament. The received text is the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. It's the traditional text that in manuscript form goes all the way back to Peter and Paul and John and the writers of the New Testament. Kevin Bowder falsely implies that the Textus Receptus was not in existence until it was put into print. Now, printing began in 1455 with Johann Gutenberg. But to imply that this was the origin, and that's what he's implying here, to imply that this was the origin of the received text is false, totally false. He is correct that the Textus Receptus used today is that made by Dr. Frederick Scrivener using Beza's 5th edition, 1598. And Scrivener's text is the exact text underlying our King James Bible. That's correct. But to say that the printed edition, the series of printed editions, the Greek New Testament, and the earliest one is Erasmus, a Roman Catholic scholar, this seems to imply that the Textus Receptus originated and began with Erasmus, and that was 1516, his edition of the Greek New Testament. But that is false. The traditional text, the Textus Receptus, received text, has been in existence from the beginning of the New Testament. Those are the words that were written in the original tongues, in the original Greek language. And when Paul penned them, and Peter penned them, and John penned these words. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 237 out of 265. Kevin Bowder, again, one of these questions, wrote this, quote, "Why were so many editions of the Textus Receptus necessary?" His answer is this, quote, "The editors of the Textus Receptus were constantly doing textual criticism. They started out with a handful of manuscripts. Erasmus started out with a handful of manuscripts, but he traveled the length and breadth of Europe, taking copious notes on biblical manuscripts wherever he could find them. With each succeeding edition, the editors of the Textus Receptus compared more and more Greek manuscripts and collated more and more of the differences between them. Every separate edition of the Textus Receptus bears testimony that ongoing textual criticism is a necessary activity." End of quote. Page 174 from Kevin Bowder, One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I simply say this. While it is true that various editions of the Greek New Testament were made using the Textus Receptus manuscripts, one thing must be understood. Each successive edition was based squarely upon the over 99% of the evidence, the manuscript evidence, rather than on the less than 1%, which was the Vatican manuscript, the Sinai manuscript, and about 43 others, which he called which is called today textual criticism. And so he tries to bring out the fact that the King James Bible's text, the received text or the Textus Receptus text, is a result of textual criticism. My friends, it's the result of manuscript evidence. And we do not believe that textual criticism needs to be put into effect, the one that they use to correct and change the New Testament as it's being changed repeatedly through the Nestle Island 26th edition and 27th edition and American Bible Society's, United Bible Society's 4th edition. We don't believe this kind of textual criticism is needed today. We believe God has, who has promised to preserve his words, Hebrew and Greek words, we believe he's preserved them. By faith we believe it, and by fact as well, in the texts that underlie our King James Bible, Hebrew and Greek texts. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 238. Kevin Bowder wrote this, another question in his question and answers in this book, One Bible Only. Quote, "What about the edition that the King James translators used? Couldn't it be the exact copy?" Well, here's his answer. Quote, "The King James translators did not use a single edition of the Textus Receptus. They relied mainly on Beza's 5th edition, but corrected it in about 200 instances. They referred to various editions as published by Erasmus, Stephanus, and Beza. The Elzevirs, who actually named the Textus Receptus, did not publish their editions until after the completion of the King James Version. Some people do claim," says Kevin Bowder, "that Beza's 5th edition is virtually identical with the autographs." The key word here is virtually. Such people must admit that even the best edition of the Textus Receptus is not an exact copy of the originals. Almost no one tries to argue that any single edition of the Textus Receptus contains all the words and only the words of the inspired originals. End of quote. Kevin Bowder, page 175 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I, for one, my friends, as you know well, who listen to me very regularly, I do believe the Greek text underlying the King James Bible, which is basically Beza's 5th edition, 1598, is identical with the original Greek New Testament. God, who keeps his promises, promised to preserve his words in Greek and in Hebrew, Old Testament words, New Testament words. He has preserved it in over 99% of the manuscripts which underlie our King James Bible. And I, having looked at this matter since 1971, and as this broadcast is being made, that's 32 years ago, I have come to the factual conclusion and to the faith conclusion that I don't have to continue to search for my Greek New Testament or for my Hebrew Old Testament. I do not have to continue to be up in the air about what is right and what is wrong. And I have concluded that the text underlying our King James Bible, Hebrew text and Greek text, are the very words of the originals. That's my faith, based upon facts that I've been looking at and examining and preaching about and arguing about and debating about since 1971. Over 32 years now, as this broadcast is being made. And that's my faith. My faith has found a resting place. And this resting place is in the text that differs from Kevin Bowder's text in 8,000 places. And you see, Kevin Bowder doesn't want to have an absolute Greek New Testament text. He wants you to believe, the listeners and the readers of his book, that it's all up in the air, and we don't really know what the Greek words are, what they aren't, what the New Testament is, what it isn't. And Satan has a field day in this phony lack of faith. Satan, who asked the first question in the Bible, yea, hath God said, is tickled to death, as we say. He is happy as a lark. He is in ecstasy over fundamentalists like Kevin Bowder, who are denying even the promise of God's preservation of his words of Hebrew and Greek. He's in ecstasy over this. And he's so happy to see this man, who's an educated man, no question about it. Kevin Bowder's no stupid idiot. He is an educated man. He's a knowledgeable young man. Younger than I, therefore he's a young man, but he's a knowledgeable young man and a knowledgeable teacher and so on. But Satan is happy with him because he's not sure about God's words. And in answer to Satan's question in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said, and then he repeats what he thinks God said, the doubting of God's words, the questioning of God's words, makes Satan happy. And when we have fundamentalists such as I am, my type of fundamentalism, which has no question or no doubt about God's words, Hebrew or Greek words, then Satan is unhappy at us. And to have a question mark put on the words of the New Testament, which differ, as I say, my New Testament in the Greek language differs from Kevin Bowder's Greek New Testament in his Greek language in 8,000 places. And so he's at sea. He doesn't know what the right words are, and he doesn't want me to know what the right words are. He wants me to be at sea as well. I'm not going to be at sea, my friends. I'm going to be solid, and I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have a foundation of my New Testament scripture. And I'm, from studying, as I say, 32 years, we have over 1,000 titles in our Defending the King James Bible appendix that you can get and read and look at. Over 1,000 titles defending our King James Bible and its Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. And I'm not going to be confused. I'm happy being sure of my ground in the New Testament. I'm happy to believe that the 8,000 changes that have been made in the text of Receptus in Kevin Bowder's Greek New Testament, the Nestle-Aland Greek text, United Bible Society critical text, I'm happy to believe the 8,000 changes that he's made in his text are false changes, and that the text Receptus does not need to be changed in these 8,000 places. And I'm happy to say, leave it alone and don't worry about the 8,000 changes. Accept them for what they are: false changes, wrong changes, inaccurate changes, following the perverse documents of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, which indeed themselves were examples of the Gnostic heresies found in Egypt. They are the result of doctrinal perversion by the Gnostics of Egypt, and the churches never accepted them after 450 or 500 AD. They trashed them, and they copied and recopied and copied again the manuscripts of what we call today the traditional text, the received text, received by the churches, over 37 historical links. And those are the manuscripts, those are the words that were permanent until Westcott and Hort dragged them up from the grave and resuscitated B. and Aleph in 1881, came out with a Greek New Testament that questions these 8,000 places where the New Testament received text does not question. Well, let's go on to fuzzy fact number 239. Kevin Bowder wrote this. Another question. Aren't the majority of the manuscripts in very close agreement? Well, his answer is this, quote, actually, all of the manuscripts, including the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus and similar copies, are in quite close agreement. No one is parading manuscripts that differ seriously from one another. End of quote, page 175. What's my answer to this one Bible only fuzzy fact? Well, as many of the fuzzy facts, it's absolutely false. Absolutely false. Vatican and Sinai manuscripts differ from one another. He says they don't vary too much. They're very similar, in close agreement. They don't seriously differ one from the other. Why, his favorite two manuscripts, Vatican and Sinai, B and Aleph, differ from one another in the Gospels alone in over 3,000 places. Over 3,000 places differ with one another. Do you want proof of this? Are you ready for it? You can get Herman Husker's 924-page book that we have reprinted, manuscript form. It's called Codex B and its Allies. Codex B, of course, is the Vatican manuscript. And the Vatican and the Sinai also differ greatly from the other old uncials as well. There are five old uncials that Westcott and Hort, Professor Hort and Bishop Westcott, like to trot out and say, these are the ones we have to go by. A and Aleph, B, C, and D. Those are the five old uncials. And they differ among themselves in thousands of places. Dean Burgon has gone to great lengths to show that these are not similar. He counts up in the Revision Revised. I wanted to get a book that shows the differences in these manuscripts to show that Kevin Bowder is totally false and incorrect in his statement here. You can get it. Simply call us or write us for the Revision Revised. Dean Burgon's book, The Revision Revised. Write us, Bible for a Day, Collingswood, New Jersey, or you can call 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for Dean Burgon's book. We'll tell you how to get it, The Revision Revised. Dean Burgon analyzes these different changes between the old uncials themselves, between themselves, hundreds and thousands of differences. And they seriously differ one from another. As I say, 3,000 differences in the Gospels alone, between B and Aleph, the Vatican, and the Sinai manuscripts. But the Revision Revised does three things. Really, four things. Number one, it exposes the false text of Westcott and Hort. Second, it exposes the false theory behind the text of Westcott and Hort. Thirdly, it exposes the errors of the English Revised Version of 1881. And fourth, it exalts and defends the King James Bible. Dean Burgon calls it the Authorized Version. That's what it does. Now, he counts up these subtractions and additions and these old uncials and the changes in Revision Revised and other places. You can get that if you're interested in finding them out. Dr. Jack Mormon's current study that we've shown shows over 8,000 differences between the text receptus and the present Westcott and Hort critical text. If you're talking about the traditional text, the text receptus, which underlies our King James Bible, then certainly we believe that they are all similar and virtually identical in form. If you mean the manuscripts that underlie our King James Bible, those are what we call a seamless garment. Those are very similar, a few spellings here and there, but very similar, we believe, virtually identical, as we've been, Dean Burgon has said. But talking about the other manuscripts, there are wide divergences in those other manuscripts that Kevin Bowder favors. Well, fuzzy fact number 240, at least we'll begin looking at it. Don't know that we have time to complete it, but we'll begin looking at it anyway. And Kevin Bowder wrote this. Why would a textual critic follow the minority of manuscripts rather than the great majority. And, of course, his answer, the majority couldn't be wrong, could it? Just because a reading has been copied widely does not mean that it was the original reading. Many scholars believe that manuscripts from the 4th century should be trusted more than manuscripts from the 14th century because 4th century manuscripts were copied a full millennium closer to the source. Well, we're going to take this up next week, but the point of it is, the manuscripts in the 4th century, which are the B and Aleph manuscripts, those manuscripts and others of that 4th century were corrupted by the heretics. Dean Burgon mentions at least 10 different heretics that were Gnostics in Egypt that corrupted those manuscripts. And this is the issue. This is the thing that's factually true. So the corruptions are there, and that's why that we cannot trust especially those 4th century manuscripts, but should rely upon the received text that has been copied and recopied through the centuries. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Don't forget to get your free copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions, 108 pages, free and postpaid, $12 value. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or email bft@bibleforday.org. My friends, we're going to continue, Lord willing, next week, same time and same station, on this fuzzy fact situation from fundamentalists, not modernists, not apostates, not Roman Catholics, not New Evangelicals, fundamentalists, fuzzy facts on Bible versions. We believe you ought to hear these fuzzy facts and then listen to the answer to them. They can be answered. They can be explained, and that's what we seek to do here. Well, same time, see you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 800, 800 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence, confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email us at bft@bibleforday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get a book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible yet, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's uncommon words defined, and it's deluxe genuine leather. Not another Bible in the world like it. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends as well, the Defined King James Bible? And then, have you ordered your Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists yet on Bible versions? It's a refutation of one Bible only. We've been talking about in these broadcasts these past months. Index and so on, 108 pages, $8 plus $4 shipping, $12 value, yours free for the asking. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible versions. All right, let's continue our Fuzzy Fact expose. We're on Fuzzy Fact number 240 out of 265. And we mentioned it last broadcast. We just read the fuzzy fact and didn't answer completely, but let me refresh our memory. Kevin Botta wrote this, quote, in his question and answer section, why would a textual critic follow the minority of manuscripts rather than the great majority? His answer, quote, the majority couldn't be wrong, could it? Just because a reading has been copied widely does not mean that it was the original reading. Many scholars believe that manuscripts from the 4th century should be trusted more than manuscripts from the 14th century, because 4th century manuscripts were copied a full millennium closer to the source. End of quote. Page 176 from One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, that would be all well and good, provided the heretics had not entered into the picture. They have entered into the picture. They entered into the picture within the 100 years after the Bible was written. Dr. Scrivener and Dr. Dean John William Burgon both agree that that's when the greatest amount of tampering came in the 100 years following the composition of our New Testament. And the tampering and the heretics have entered into the picture and have changed the doctrines. They've changed the words of these 4th century manuscripts he's talking about, B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai. And as I said before, in fact, Dean Burgon and Dr. Frederick Scribner both agree that the most tampering with the words of God occurred 100 years after the Bible was completed. These 4th century manuscripts, B and Aleph, the Vatican and the Sinai, are products of this tampering. And that's why these manuscripts are 2,886 Greek words shorter than our Textus Receptus. Did you get the number there? 2,886 Greek words shorter than our Textus Receptus. Now, why would they throw out 2,886 Greek words? Well, many of the cases had to do with doctrine. That's why there are 356 doctrinal errors in these manuscripts, because these heretics have corrupted them. That's why we cannot trust these 4th century manuscripts of B and Aleph and their sisters and brothers, a few extras other than that. That's why we must trust the judgment of the churches that did copy and recopy in over 99% of the manuscript evidence. The text that underlies our King James Bible, the traditional text, the received text, the Textus Receptus. That's why we trust that text. The early churches did not trust the Egyptian manuscripts of B and Aleph, and we believe firmly that history has shown us that B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, are Egyptian manuscripts. Can anything good come out of Egypt? It's a good question. These Egyptian manuscripts came out of a terrible, terrible wastebasket of Egypt, a terrible graveyard of Egypt, a sewer of Egypt. In fact, one of the writers who's there at Princeton Seminary has said in his quotation that he names at least 10 or 11 heretical, unorthodox people. This is Bruce Metzger in his book, Heresies in the Second Century there in Egypt. And he says what ones that were orthodox in Egypt, he doesn't know. He lists and names at least 10 or 11 heretical groups flourishing in Egypt. And these manuscripts, B and Aleph, the 4th century manuscripts, Vatican and Sinai, are products of the cesspool of heresy in Egypt. This is why they have 8,000 changes and differences from our Textus Receptus. It's an Egyptian revision. This is why the B and Aleph manuscripts that Kevin Botter goes along with, and Bob Jones University goes along with, and Detroit Baptist Seminary goes along with, and Calvary Baptist and Central Baptist, that's why they go along with this. And these manuscripts are 2,886 Greek words shorter than the text that underlie our King James Bible. Dr. Jack Mormon has counted these words. This is not a guess. This is not just out of thin air. 2,886 Greek words shorter in their Greek New Testament than in ours of the King James Bible. That's why because of the heresies, there are these 356 doctrinal errors in their manuscripts, because these heretics have corrupted them. And Kevin Bowder does not want to accept the fact, nor do these others fundamentalists that hold these false ideas on Bible version. They don't want to accept this either, that heretics were alive and well on planet Earth, and especially in the country and the land of Egypt. And that's where the heresy began. That's where these manuscripts began. And they had no original to compare them with. And the Egyptian heretics, when they couldn't explain away the plain words of Scripture that were against their doctrines, they changed the plain words of Scripture to conform to their doctrines. This is what Dean Burgon has written many times in his five books that we have published, all in hardback editions. The Revision Revised by Dean Burgon, The Last 12 Verses of Mark by Dean Burgon, The Traditional Text by Dean Burgon, The Causes of Corruption of the Traditional Text by Dean Burgon, and Inspiration and Interpretation by Dean Burgon. And this gives the factual basis why we cannot accept the 4th century manuscripts of B and Aleph that are tainted, completely tainted by heresy, and why we do accept the over 99% of the evidence untainted by heresy in Egypt, because the manuscripts did not originate in Egypt, but in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey, in Jerusalem, and various other places in the then-known church world. Well, fuzzy fact number 241 out of 265, Kevin Bowder, again in his question and answer section of One Bible Only, says this, quote, "Didn't the early churches reject some of these ancient manuscripts?" And then he says, if the manuscripts had been used, they would have been copied, right? His answer is this, quote, "No historical evidence exists to prove that the churches ever deliberately rejected any manuscripts of the Bible. The early churches certainly were not in the habit of denouncing biblical manuscripts or refusing to acknowledge them as the Word of God," end of quote. Page 176 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact of Kevin Bowder? Again, this is absolutely false. His preferred Greek text is the Vatican and Sinai text. They are Egyptian manuscripts. They have hundreds of changes from the text of Receptus. Yea, 8,000 differences, as Dr. Jack Mormon has counted them up again. And it's available, if you're interested in it, over 500 large pages giving chapter and verse differences in these manuscripts of his, Westcott and Lord, Vatican and Sinai, versus ours that underlie our King James Bible. Many hundreds of changes, 1,000 changes, without any objection from anybody, from 200 to 450 A.D., because the Egyptian manuscripts were repeated in Egypt without any harm or without any knowledge that there was a different text. They hadn't gotten wind of it and word of it, and so there weren't objections from 200 to 450 A.D. But from 500 A.D. through 1881, when Westcott and Hort came along, the churches did not copy the false B and Aleph text. Now, that's a fact of history. He said there's no evidence that the churches deliberately rejected any manuscripts of the Bible. My friend, he's dead wrong on this. Kevin Bowder is dead wrong in this. The churches did not copy B and Aleph documents, and from 500 A.D. to 1881, they copied only the traditional text manuscripts because they knew them to be true, and they knew that B and Aleph were false. They rejected the B and Aleph manuscripts. That's why they only have in existence today, as of Kurt Allen's count in 1967, it was, he counted 5,255 Greek manuscripts, either in whole or in part. And of those 5,255, only B and Aleph and 43 others, according to Dr. Jack Mormon's analysis at least, only B and Aleph and 43 others, 45 manuscripts go along with the false Egyptian manuscripts that the churches have rejected. What happens to the other 5,210? What happens to the 99% of the evidence? they have gone along with the traditional text that underlies our King James Bible. And that shows that the churches did reject the manuscripts B and Aleph as Egyptian heretical false manuscripts, and they did not copy them. They refused to copy them. And this proof, not only by manuscript evidence, but by the early versions. They refused to copy in the other languages that they translated. They refused to use in many of the ancient early versions the false B and Aleph text. That's why, and then the early church fathers that wrote and quoted scripture, they had before them the great preponderance of these scriptures that they used were not the Westcott and Hort readings. They were the scripture readings of the traditional Textus Receptus. And that's why when we go over to Mark 16, 9 to 20, the last 12 verses of Mark, the manuscript evidence in favor of the King James Bible's exoneration of those last 12 verses is overwhelming. The manuscript evidence is overwhelming. 600 cursives, 18 uncials, all the lectionaries of the East that had the Mark 16, 9 to 20. And the only two manuscripts that are against those last 12 verses are B and Aleph. In Dean Burgon's day, there are a few tiny minor ones today that have been cited. But basically, these big two. And they're wrong. And the other manuscripts are right that exonerate Mark 16, 9 to 20. Not only the manuscripts, but also the early versions. The 10 early versions are listed in Dean Burgon's last 12 verses of Mark, and those versions, all 10 of them, have Mark 16, 9 to 20. And the first 5 or 6 of them are versions and translations, early translations, that predate B and Aleph. Predate B and Aleph. And they had them in their text before them, in the Greek text, when they translated them into these other languages. And B and Aleph came along and just took them out. But they were there. And they just took them out. But they were there. Also, 19 early church fathers. These are writers in the early churches. We don't agree with all their doctrines, obviously. But when they referred to scripture and verses, at least 19 of them referred to Mark 16, 9 to 20 that they had in their hands when they wrote the various people that they wrote to. And so there's evidence, total evidence, for the Textus Receptus, and there's total inevidence, lack of evidence, B and Aleph and 43 others, less than 1% of the evidence that are from the 4th century Egyptian sewers and apostasy and heresy. And it's a sad fact that fundamentalists, who in other doctrines are correct, have chosen to select for their Bibles the manuscripts of Egypt that originated with the Gnostics in tampering with the received text and drew them out of the sewers of heresy in Egypt in the 2nd century, over 10 different heresies, and from those heresies came Vatican and Sinai manuscripts. It's a shame, a sad shame, that the fundamentalists of our day would lower themselves to receive, like a vacuum cleaner, suck it right up without question, these trashed manuscripts of the 2nd and 4th centuries B and Aleph from Egypt, and to reject the pure, clean texts that underlie our King James Bible, the received traditional text. It's a shame and a sham that they would be so bamboozled by Westcott and Hort, the heretics, that they would accept these manuscripts as sound when they are most unsound. And to reject our manuscripts that underlie our King James Bible as insane, when really they are sane, not insane. And so these are differences that divide us. And this is why we must examine these fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. And we are examining that on the broadcast as we have these past months. Well, let's jump to fuzzy fact number 242 out of 265. Kevin Bowder, again in his question and answer section of One Bible Only, wrote this, quote, "Hasn't God promised to preserve all the words of Scripture?" His answer, quote, "Most careful interpreters would say that no such specific promise can be found in the Bible itself. Most careful interpreters would say that no specific promise can be found in the Bible itself. He repeats that several times. Page 177 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, again, this is false. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, and it's repeated in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He says, no specific promise can be found in the Bible itself, that God has promised to preserve all of the words of Scripture. When he says, my words shall not pass away, the words of Greek, the words of Hebrew, are certainly something the Lord Jesus promised would not pass away. I believe the Lord Jesus, according to John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus is the author of the words of the New Testament. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, howbeit, but you cannot receive them. Now, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself or from himself as to the source, but whatsoever things he hears from me, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God received of the Lord Jesus Christ the words of the New Testament and caused the writers to write them down. But the source is the Lord Jesus Christ. His words shall not pass away. I believe, by the same token, he was the author of the Old Testament Hebrew words. And the Holy Spirit of God wrote down what the Lord Jesus told him to write down. The writers were told by the Holy Spirit through Christ. He was the author. He's the Logos. He's the Revelator. And my belief is that even the Hebrew words are Christ's words. And when he says, my words shall not pass away, he includes the Hebrew words of the Old Testament as well. The Lord Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 5:18. To have our fundamentalist brethren say that God never promised to preserve his words is horrendously false. It's an apostate doctrine. It's a heretical doctrine. I'm not calling the men that hold it apostates or heretics. I'm saying these fundamentalist brethren hold an apostate heretical doctrine saying that God never promised in the Bible itself that he would preserve the words of Scripture. Matthew 5:18, the Lord Jesus said, not a jot or a tittle would pass away from the law until all be fulfilled. It hasn't been fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is a promise to preserve his words, even the letters and parts of letters, the jot, the yod, the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the tittle, the smallest distinguishing feature between two Hebrew letters. So there's your Hebrew letters. And his words in the New Testament shall not pass away. There's your Greek letters. And the promises are here. But as the old proverb has stated, there's none so blind as he who will not see. There's none so blind as he who will not see. That goes for she who will not see as well. The she and the he. And this blindness has come apart on these people that do not believe and have rejected God's promise to preserve his words. They don't believe the words are preserved, so they've got to think on their thinking caps and explain away all of the clear verses of Scripture that promise to preserve God's words for the present generation. God wrote his word in Psalm 119 to 1,000 generations, he said. And one of the verses in Psalm 119, he's given it to 1,000 generations. Well, if a generation is 20 years, that's 20,000 years. He's given his word to that length, that extent. Well, if the words have perished, how can 1,000 years or 1,000 generations receive those words? When the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How can we live by every word if we don't have every word? These are promises for God's preservation of his scriptures and of his words. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 243 out of 265. Kevin Botter wrote this. Who were Westcott or Hort and Westcott? Who were Hort and Westcott? That's the question. His answer? F.J.A. Hort and B.F. Westcott were British scholars who published a printed edition of the Greek New Testament in 1881. Their work built upon previous editions of the Greek New Testament and compared some of the newly discovered manuscripts. Their inclusion of the most ancient manuscripts was what distinguished their work and made it a reference point for all later editions of the Greek New Testament. End of quote. Page 177 from One Bible Only. What's my answer to that fuzzy fact? I would simply say the real answer of Westcott and Hort, who they were, is that they were clever, theological, apostates, and heretics. Now, he doesn't believe that. Kevin Bowder does not believe that Westcott and Hort were heretics, theological heretics. Nor do the writers of From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man, a production of Bob Jones University writers and so on in the school. They don't believe that Westcott and Hort were apostates either. Various people have denied that they're apostates. Well, he never said that they were deniers of any cardinal doctrines of the faith. He just simply said they were British scholars who published a printed edition of the Greek New Testament. Well, actually, the English Revised Version of 1881 was published by the Anglican Church, the Church of England. But he said that that's all they were, scholars. No, they weren't just scholars. They were apostate scholars. And that's the thing I can't understand. If our fundamentalist brethren can't even see plain and simple that these men were apostates in their doctrine, heretics, there's nothing else we can discuss with them about the doctrines of the preservation of the words of Scripture. They're blind to the theological heresies of Westcott and Hort, the originators of this false Scripture and false Greek text. Then we can't talk to them about anything else if they cannot see that straight. My book is called The Theological Heresies of Westcott and Hort. And you can get it. We'll tell you how to get it. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. I list 125 quotations from five of Westcott's and Hort's books. Three from Westcott, two from Hort, which show them to be apostates. And you should get that book, and you might want to get also the other book, Bishop Westcott's Clever Denial of the Bodily Resurrection of Christ. His clever denial. I quote from two of Bishop Westcott's books and show that he did not even believe in the bodily resurrection of our Savior. How can he be conservative? How can he be anything but an apostate? And then also, you can see proof of this if you're interested. You can go to Bob Jones University's library and get The Life and Letters of Westcott, and you can get another book, The Life and Letters of Hort. Their sons compiled the letters of their fathers into these tremendous books, almost 1,000 pages each, Life and Letters of Westcott, Life and Letters of Hort. And these sons compiled the letters that their fathers wrote, and they're in the books, and in these letters you find apostasy. You find heresy. And there's no question about it. These two were not simply British scholars. They were heretical British scholars. They were apostate British scholars. And until we find this out and see, we'll never be able to understand why it is that fundamentalists use their Greek New Testament text. Would you have an unbeliever to preach in your church? Well, then why do you have unbelievers, Westcott and Hort, give us your Greek New Testament? Would you have a bank robber be a teller in your bank? No, that's foolish. Would you have a fox to guard your chickens? Well, of course not. They would eat the chickens. Then why do you use the Greek text that was based upon the thinking and the thoughts and the heresies of Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort? Why do you, as a fundamentalist, use that text from them? It's serious. Would you have a pedophile guide your children? Would you? I hope you wouldn't. Therefore, why have Westcott and Hort to guide and to guard and to use as a source for your New Testament Greek text? That's what these people have done. These fundamentalist brethren have done, and we're opposed to it. Stand for the King James Bible and its Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, and get your free copy from us of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So until next broadcast, don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, email bft@bibleforttoday.org. Well, we've enjoyed chatting with you on the broadcast today. We want you to continue to listen. We still have some more fuzzy facts to go over, starting with fuzzy fact 244 out of 265. Next broadcast, we'll continue these important subjects of why we stand for our King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek text, why we stand against the Westcott false text. Good chatting with you. See you next week. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.